from a place called Covington, about 30 miles north of New Orleans. Everybody pretty much knows where New Orleans is. It's kind of next to, you know, it's kind of same place as Sin City is, you know, as Vegas. And so, but it is a place that needs the Lord. And I've been there since almost a little over 30 years. My dad started the church there and has been there ever since. We just celebrated the 30th year anniversary there this past summer, or past spring. And but it is good to be here. And so how did we get here? I'm not sure how we got here, but we're here. And but no, the Lord called me to preach when I was 9 years old. And so started preaching. And didn't preach, you know, every week when I was 9 years old, but it's been certainly a journey. And I met my wife when I was 15, and we got married 7 years later. And it's been history, you know, 10 years now. I mean, we've almost been married 13 years, 10 kids. And so anyway, God sent us up to New Hampshire. And while we were up there for work, God planted the seed about going to Alaska. We didn't know anything about Alaska. That was about 8 years ago. And we came back to Louisiana when the Lord closed the door up there. And we thought we were heading to Alaska then. And nothing opened up. Nothing, you know, ever came up about Alaska again. And so we started pastoring a church down in South Mississippi. And over by Piggyune. And while we were there, God said, it's time for you to go to Alaska. And so not knowing anything about Alaska, we just started doing some research and about Alaska. And God told me we need to go to the North Slope. I didn't know anything about the North Slope, except it costs takes a lot of money to get up there. And so I told God I couldn't go there because I can't afford to go there. And but God had other plans, and so I thought it would be, you know, an issue with my wife. And so I told God, God, I'll give you 2 weeks to work on my wife. Well, I couldn't hold it in. That night, I had to talk to my wife. I was at the grocery store, called her, and when I told her, she's like, well, that's where I felt we were supposed to go the whole time. And so I thank the Lord for a wife that's willing to answer the call of God with me and go wherever I'm going to go, wherever God sends us to go, and be surrendered to that, even to a small village. And New Ixit has a little over 400 people. And I met the Sereno family, and like I said, didn't know anything about Alaska, so we called, I looked up Baptist churches in Barrow, Alaska, and there was one Baptist church, and wound up being an independent Baptist church. So I called Brother Darrell and told him, you know, we're thinking about coming about middle of October. He said, don't come middle of October, come the end of October, we got our mission conference. And so God just, he provided the money at the right time. And we went up there and to just put boots on the ground. That's the only thing I knew to do. And so we got to Barrow and heard about New Ixit. And I got to go over to New Ixit and saw the great need over there for somebody to preach the gospel. And so we're on a journey trying to get there. And there's one house for sale there, and so that's what our goal is, to purchase that home. And when the Lord provides, and you know, I was going to try to start getting things prepared down in South Louisiana, but you know, that's over 3,000 miles away. A little difficult to get things prepared to go to a place that's on the slope like that. And so anyway, God provided the money for the ferry tickets. All the missionaries we're talking to online said, go the ferry. Don't go across Canada. They've done both, and they said, take the ferry. So we took the ferry, and we're glad. It was an awesome thing, except Sarah got seasick and a couple of other kids. So that was a little rough. And but it's been amazing to see God provide. We got about 25% of our support. And I resigned the church that I was pastoring last January. And God never called us to go full support. And so it's a little different. I mean, coming from a very mission-minded church, and I've never heard of a missionary doing that. But God just really impressed upon us that you need to continue to work, be bivocational, and that's what I was when I was pastoring a little church there in Mississippi. And so that's where God has us at this time, and it's just been exciting to see where God has brought us to. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. And, first service here, and the pastor was preaching about following your cloud. And, when you follow your cloud, there's no doubt. I had a really close friend of mine tell me that you're going to have doubts, Jason. And I'm just like, I really beg to differ. Because I believe 100% if I'm in the center of God's will, I will have no doubts. And I truly believe that. And I hadn't had the doubts yet. I married Sarah, my wife, without any doubts. I knew 100% she was the one for me. She believed she was the one. I was the one for her. God put us together and blessed us really quick with so far 10 kids. And number 11 will be here by January. I don't know if y'all don't know that. And so anyway, God, I don't know sometimes what God's doing, but I just got to follow Him. And so anyway, and I kind of feel like an idiot. Any questions about, before I get in the message here, I don't know if that's clear enough about what we're doing going to New Ipswich. My goal is, we're going to Wainwright. I'm sorry. We're going to Wainwright in January, in the end of July. Chad Burnick is there, and his family's been there, I think, 4 years. And Sarah has met Mrs. Burnick and Sarah. And so anyway, they're communicating all the time with each other. And, we weren't planning on coming up this early. But God provided the money and pressed upon us time to come. And so we decided to come up and get up here. And God provided and God gave us a little discount on the tickets. So anyway, we're heading up here about 3 weeks before, I guess about a week before we left Louisiana. Brother Chad Burnett contacted me and said, hey, look, we are leaving, going down to the lower 48 to raise some more support, go on deputation, see some family or whatever. And so anyway, he said, I'd like you to pray about coming and filling in for us for 3 months. And then you can see what it's like to live on the slope, live in a small village. And so anyway, we're, of course, just excited about that opportunity. And we'll be up there from the end of July to the sometime end of October into November sometime. We're not sure. They keep getting more churches and more appointments. So we're just getting one-way tickets to start with. And I'm like, are they coming back? at this point, we might be stuck in Wainwright, Alaska. But that'll be okay wherever God wants us to be. And so we're looking forward to that. Any questions you have for me about going to New Ipswich or Wainwright? And not sure what our timeline is getting to New Ipswich. And there is some work there, quite a few jobs actually. And there's, like I said, one house for sale. My goal is to be able to start once a month going up to the village, start getting work established. And like I said, I've already been up there. We had got to hold service, and two ladies got saved at the service that night. And so they were more excited about having somebody to teach their children the Bible. And so, of course, told some of the people that my wife teaches Sunday school, and they were just tickled pink about having somebody to teach. They have a Presbyterian church with no minister, and they have an Assembly of God church with no minister. And so there's just nobody there hardly at all. And so they're hungry for the word there. And excited about us coming. And so we can't wait to get there. We would have moved straight there if the house would have been open. And we're that crazy. And so we are crazy. And so anyway, no questions. All minds are cleared. Awesome. I probably couldn't answer the questions anyway. But I was born in South Mississippi in Law. And 5 years, my dad planted a church there. And then whenever I was 5 years old, God called him to go to South Louisiana. And I started mission work down there. We were mission work there for a while till the church got full supported and established. And so been there ever since. And but I kind of feel like an idiot because I'm sitting back there and thinking about the message or whatever. And I look up and I see this poster board over here. I'm like, oh, look at that. And then I look over and I'm like, oh, wow. That's what I'm preaching on. And I was like, I feel kind of like an idiot because I didn't notice it before. And that's been hanging up there for a while, hadn't it? That shows you how much I pay attention. But that's been on my heart this week, and so I didn't want to preach that. But that's why I couldn't get away from it. So there's a reason for everything. But if you would open it, Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that we can come before you. We can open your word and we can trust it. And we know it's true. And we know it's pure. And thank you so much for that you've preserved it. And we know that we can trust everything that's in it. And we can trust in you. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for saving me. God, I pray that you would use me right now. And I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." You know, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, trust is one of those things that we kind of use loosely sometimes. You know, I trust him or I trust her. But really deep down, sometimes we don't trust as much as we use the word as we do. You know, trust is something, it's a strong word. It's something that means confidence and or reliant on someone. Trust. You know, I trust my wife. And my mom used to say, "I trust my children to be who they are. Sinners. That's who they are, is sinners." She knew that we weren't perfect. And I know my mom's not perfect, even though how much I love my mom. But we use this word sometimes, not really in the meaning that it's supposed to be. But the Lord here says, trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, when we say, "Oh, I trust in God." You know, of course, that starts with salvation with all of us. Starts with anybody. Any person that's ever breathed on this earth is trust in him with our life, with our eternity. You know, a lot of Christians, but really where the rubber meets the road is after salvation, of how much do we really trust. And we can answer that question by looking at our lives in our present life, or how much do we trust God in our everyday life, in the decisions that we make on a daily basis, and then that we can answer that question, if I really trust God. Because the next part of the verse, he says, "And lead not unto thine own understanding." That's where our problem comes from, is whenever we, as my dad would say, stinking thinking. You know, that's the kind of thinking we most of the time have, is when we lean to our own understanding. And we wind up having issues and having problems. And having long-term problems a lot of times with leaning to our own understanding when we're not trusting in our Savior. Not trusting in our God. You know, of course, that has to do with money. It has to do with our job. It has to do with our spouse, our children, and our friends, and our money. And a lot of times our purchases that we make. You know, do we trust in God? He says, trust in God. Not just do you trust Him, but trust Him with all of thine heart. How do we trust God with all of our heart? You know, all of our decisions, all the things in our lives. That's easier said than done. A lot of times we take that away from God and trust in ourselves or trust in someone else in the decision making of our lives. And it messes us up so many times. He says to trust in Him. Psalms chapter 71. Flip over there. Psalms chapter 71. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." You know, the Bible says that he had came to not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He did give us the law as our schoolmaster, bring us to Christ, to show us who we really are. He says he gives us the commandment to save us. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my womb. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. As I was thinking about this and looking into this, come across this verse of scripture. In verse 6 it says, For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I've been given something a lot of people wasn't given. An opportunity that a lot of people desire. And, I was raised in a godly home, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I remember growing up and listening, you know, we had a lot of evangelists and a lot of preachers coming to preach, and, you know, I'd hear these testimonies sometimes of, and just going different places, and we were always going to revival meetings or whatever, and I hear these testimonies of people of how God brought them out of all this great sin and all this stuff, and, you know, glorifying the sin more than God sometimes, and we got to be careful of that. And but, you know, I was like, I don't have that kind of testimony. I don't. And God's just like, well, I'll give you a testimony. If you want a testimony, I'll give you a testimony. And so I went through my life, but I'll get to that in a minute. And but got to looking at this verse of scripture. He says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. As I said, I was saved at 5 years old. I don't know if I said that or not. But when I was five and a half years old, I'm sitting there with my brother in my bedroom, and he tells me if I don't get saved, then I'm going to die and go to hell. Well, what five-year-old don't want to get saved and escape the fires of hell? You know, and of course I got saved and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And but I thank God that I had a mom and daddy that exalted the Word of God in our home. And because of that, and because of them teaching me and training me, I could trust them. And I could follow their example. I could follow their lead. You know, a lot of parents are following their kids instead of the kids following mom and daddy. And that's, there's so much confusion with that. You know, and so my mom and dad was going forth trying to strive to seek after God, striving to raise and teach their children after the ways of God, and that we would grow up in the paths of God and be shot out into the world to do great harm to Satan's kingdom and serve the Almighty God. And I thank the Lord for parents that I could trust. You know, we have quite a few young people here. You know, and young people, you can trust your mom and daddy. You're here today with your mom and daddy, and your mom and you can trust your mom and daddy because they don't mean evil to you. They want to see you strive for good. They want to see you turn out for the Lord, to turn out for good. A lot of times we sometimes kick against our parents and don't understand what where they're headed in the direction they're trying to bring us. But they have nothing but good intentions for our lives. We can trust them. Bible says to trust in our God. Trust in Him. You know, our parents they're trying, they're striving. Sometimes they make mistakes. I know my mom and daddy is not perfect. You know, I could tell you some things of how my mom and dad weren't perfect. But I could trust them because I knew that they were seeking after God. They were trying to teach and train my brother and my sister and I to walk after God. And I thank the Lord that I had parents like that. I was thinking about it to come to mind when I read this verse of scripture. And and I was thinking back when I was 15 years old, my goal was to be a Marine. I wanted to be the proud a Marine. That was my goal. I eat, drank, and sleep the Marine Corps. And that's what I wanted to be. And when I was 15 years old, my mom and daddy dropped a bomb on me that they didn't want me to go to the service. They didn't want me to go to the Marine Corps. Well, I mean, it broke my heart. I mean, it really did. And but being brought up and to obey my mom and daddy and follow them, you know, I knew I couldn't go to the Marines if I wanted to honor my mom and daddy. And of course, they said, well, why don't you just go to, you know, the rescue school in Texas? And so I was like, well, sure, okay, I'll go there. And I got to go do that for 2 years after I was 20 years old. My mom and dad asked me, like, you know, won't you wait to do something like that, you know, to get married or to branch out in life till you're 20 years old? And so I was like, okay. And, you know, it broke my heart. I didn't understand why I couldn't go to the Marines. And I wanted to. I love the service. My dad loves the service people. And I love all the branches, and I mean, supports them. But I didn't understand why I couldn't go. And so growing up, I mean, most of my buddies, probably 90% of my buddies, wound up Marines. And so, and then one of my buddies got killed over in Afghanistan, a lieutenant in the infantry. And another buddy I went to school with became a Navy SEAL, and Humvee got hit by IED. And so I lost, you know, he had a wife and three children and a strong, godly man. And I didn't understand why I couldn't go. And my buddy Will, that got killed over in Afghanistan, the Marine, I'm sitting there. He comes by the house, and I had three or four kids at the time. And my mom called me, I guess, and said, hey, Will came by. He was kept going from California over to wherever, East Coast somewhere, and stopped by. So I'll run over there to where I could see him. And we're sitting on the couch, and he's on the other side of the living room. And I told him, I said, I kind of feel ashamed of myself. You know, I don't feel like I'm doing my part. And he looks at me and says, Jason, you are doing your part. And he points to my kids. And he says, you are doing your part. And so, you know, even though it didn't help the way I felt like I was serving my country as they were serving me. And then I had another buddy of mine that was in the Marines. And, you know, he told his mama, he's just like, I'm going to the Marines where people like Jason Baker don't have to go to the Marines. And so that's a hard burden for me to carry sometimes. But I thank the Lord for men that will stand and will fight. And so the other day, I'm scrolling down on Facebook, looking at just the faces of people I've known for most of my life. And, you know, I get a little discouraged sometimes, and sometimes maybe want to quit. And I was looking at the faces of the people that I've known, Christian people that I've known most of my life. And all that I could think of is, if I quit, how much I will let people down and how disappointed they will be and how much shame I will bring on my Heavenly Father. And so that gave me strength and kept me going. Even though my buddy gave his life for me to where I couldn't, where I could have freedom and I could stand and tonight here in Alaska and preach the Word. And so it compels me that I can't quit, I can't stop. You know, sometimes, in looking back on my life, I understand why my mom and dad told me no. And why they said, I don't want you to go. And then later on in life, here I am standing there, my mom and dad's working in the yard, and I'm talking to them. I said, well, you know the reason, I was a little irritated. So you know the reason why I didn't go to the military is because y'all didn't want me to go. I was trying to, like, you know, puff myself up. You know, like, I was a good, obedient son to y'all. I wasn't being, ugly to him or anything. I was just a little hurt maybe or whatever. Feeling sorry for myself. And they said, Jason, we never told you you couldn't go to the Marines. We just didn't want you to go that young. And I'm like, oh my lance, I misunderstood. But I think God had me misunderstand for a reason. No doubt in my mind. You know, I don't think I'd be married today. I may be dead. I don't know. And I had two grandfathers that served in the Army. And, but there's a reason of why God had me misunderstand my parents. And there's a reason why my mom and dad taught me to be obedient. It taught me to be instant obedient when they speak, to act, to do. And I thank God for that. I thank God that they instilled in me to trust in God with all of my heart. I struggle with that on a daily basis. And then the next part of that verse of Scripture, he says, and lean not into thine own understanding. I'm driving around in my own understanding out there. I am. Because But the beginning of last year, we needed a new vehicle. We, you know, we had 11-seater, and we're fixing out, you know, number 12 was on the way as far as, you know, number 10 kid was on the way. So we needed a bigger van. We needed another seat in the vehicle. So here we are, we've got to buy another vehicle, and I break down and go buy something almost brand new with a note on it. And then here we are fixing to go to Wainwright, and I don't need the note. And I remember thinking whenever I was, we had the money to purchase that thing with cash. And I'm like, I don't want to use all the money. I lean to my own understanding. And so now I'm reaping the benefits for that. And so I'm just like, man, I could have sold that sucker and had, that would have been like money in the bank. I know vehicles usually aren't, but it would have been for us at this time. You see, I lean to my own understanding. My wife was like, yeah, I wondered why you didn't just pay cash, why you just didn't buy the thing outright. I'm like, oh, my lands. You know, but God has a reason for everything. God's sitting there chastising me, spanking me a little bit. See, Jason, you're leaning to your own understanding. So what? I'm like, okay, God, I'm sorry. You know, so now I'm paying for it. But when we lean to our own understanding, we reap the, as some people would say, reap the whirlwind. And lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, sometimes it's not easy to walk the path of God. But when we are surrendered to him, and we're trusting in him with all of our heart, and we acknowledge him, he will direct our path. He will give us the peace that passeth all understanding. Talking about that testimony earlier, and you know, I struggled with doubts of my salvation for a long time. And I tried getting it settled, and just I couldn't get it settled. And I went all over the world preaching the gospel and preached, witnessing to people. And I couldn't get it settled in my own heart. But I remember having a conversation with God. God, if I cut myself open right now and I bled, I would bleed the scripture. I would believe in you. There's nothing in me that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again the third day according to the scripture. There was nothing in me that didn't believe that. But I still had doubts. I don't understand God. And God kept telling me, just wait. I didn't want to wait. I wanted assurance. It was miserable. And I think it was because I'd asked God, I don't have a testimony. And then two, I think he was trying to cultivate a lot of pride out of me. I had so much pride in me. And God just kept trying to pluck it out by the roots. So Jason, it's good for a young man to touch the dumb, put his mouth in the dust. And so he just kept on working on me. And then about 10 years ago, we'd gotten married and two or three kids on the way. And I finally came to the point that God was trying to bring me to. Of complete 100% surrender to him. And I finally just said, God, I can't do it no more. You want me to preach? And you want me to serve you? And I get up here and I tell people that you can know for sure where you'll spend eternity, and I don't know myself. I have these doubts. And I just lifted my hands up to the Savior and I told him, God, I can't do it no more. I can't go no more. You got to show me I'm lost where I can deal with it, or show me I'm saved where I can continue to serve you or whatever. And anyway, God gave me assurance of my salvation. And he says, that's where I want you to be, Jason, at the bottom, where I can feel you. And I didn't understand it at the time. But look, when we trust in him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Are you trusting in him in every aspect of your life? In all the decisions of your life? No matter what it is, no matter how small it is. I remember not too long ago, me and you know, my old work vehicle had gone down. I said, okay, I need to buy another vehicle. And God's just like, no, Just use the one. I'm like, I can't leave Sarah at home by herself with, you know, 8 kids or 9 kids, whatever it was at the time. And I was just like, I can't do that, God. I got to buy another vehicle. He's like, no, I don't want you to buy another vehicle. And I looked online, looked. Every time I drive one of those used dealership places, you know, I'd be looking for a vehicle. I just knew I needed another truck. God said, no, don't buy another truck. For 7 months, we did that. And Sarah kept saying, baby, I don't need to go nowhere. I'm fine. You know, at home, it's no big deal. Whenever you get home, we'll go somewhere, whatever. It's not a problem. I don't need a vehicle. She kept assuring me, I don't need a vehicle. But you need a vehicle. I need a vehicle. You know, I'm trying to lean to my own understanding. The Holy Spirit kept telling me, no, don't buy a vehicle. Don't buy a vehicle. And, oh, I didn't want to listen. But I kept, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just buy another van then. That's what God's trying to tell me. And sure enough, God, nope, not yet. Then he gave me a vehicle I could pay cash for, no big deal. And as soon as I drove it, you know, I drove around a little parking lot in Chili's. Up, done. This is exactly what God wants me to have. And it's if we trust in God, seek after Him, seek after His face, He will give us peace for whatever it is that He calls us to do. And here I am, here we are, and I don't understand. Sometimes, it's just me and Sarah, I just laugh about it sometimes, driving down the road. We're in Alaska. We can't believe it. I mean, here we are, all the way up here. It's just amazing. It's just, we have complete joy because we're exactly where we're supposed to be in the Lord. And it's exciting to see what God's going to do. Sometimes we don't even know how He's going to do it, but I know He will get His perfect work done. And I'm just glad to be the one that God wants to use. However it is, no matter where it is or how it is, it don't matter. God never lets us get to New Ixit. That's okay. That's in His timing and however He wants to do it. I know sometimes that don't make any sense, but we just have to trust in Him. Let's